I hope you pray every day. In fact, I hope you pray multiple times every single day, throughout your day, you know, from the moment you wake up in the morning, before you lay your head in your pillow at night. But I want us to stop and think about where our prayer life is right now. Are you happy with your prayer life? Is it healthy? I've never met someone that says, yeah, I'm good. My prayer life's perfect. I don't really need to improve in my prayer habits. It's fine right now. If you were to get in a conversation with someone and they ask, you know, how's your prayer life? Would you like to improve your prayer life? We would probably say yes. We would like to improve our prayer life. If you would like to improve, what are you doing to improve? If you want to get better at something, we got to put in some work, right? We got to put in some effort. So what are you doing to improve? And if you have some great tips, some great things you're doing, share them with me. Share them with others afterwards. We can all learn from that. But I'm going to offer some tips today, I hope, for how to pray with power. Prayer is, it's one of the most remarkable gifts that God has given us. Hebrews 5:16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." I think that's what we're doing when we go to God in prayer, is we are approaching that throne of grace. When we pray to God, we pray because we need God. We need God. If we can handle this life on our own, if we could make it on our journey to heaven without Him, we wouldn't need prayer. But that's not the case at all. The fact is, I need prayer, and you need prayer. And so, from Luke chapter 11 today, we're going to learn from Jesus. We're going to learn from Him. Verse 1, "It came to pass as He was praying in a certain place, when He ceased, that one of His disciples said to Him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught His disciples.'" And so, there are four points I want us to consider based on Christ's teachings this morning about how we should pray. And the first one is we need to make sure we pray with purpose. We need to pray with purpose. Go back to verses 2 through 4. "He said to them, 'When you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." And so, right off the bat, we have to recognize who we are praying to. We are praying to God the Father. We are praying to the Almighty Creator of the heavens and the earth. His name is hallowed. It means He is holy. Right? He's set apart from us. Even Jesus, even His Son, when He was on earth, prayed to God. He spoke to God with reverence, didn't He? And so if Jesus Christ spoke to God with reverence, we better be speaking to Him the same way. I've heard it mentioned before. You've probably heard it before. He's not the big guy in the sky. You know, we don't refer to Him in those ways. He is our Heavenly Father. He is the Almighty Creator. And so as I acknowledge who He is, I need to make sure I'm acknowledging His will, of course. Verse 2 reminds us of that. Your will be done, right? I understand His ways are higher than my ways. His ways are higher than my ways. So before I ask anything, I've got to understand that God knows best. He knows best for me. 1 John 5:14 tells us, now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. I need to be careful never to go to God thinking that I know what's best. And if only God would listen to me, then everything would turn out all right. Everything would be okay if God just does what I want Him to do. That's the wrong attitude to approach your Heavenly Father with. Think about it when you ask for your physical needs. Verse 3, all it says is, "Give us day by day our daily bread." I don't think this is saying we have to pray exactly these words, of course. But when it comes to the necessities of life, when it comes to what you need, I don't need to ask for prime rib. I'd like to. I don't need to ask for name brand clothes, you know. I don't need to ask for the nicest, most fashionable clothing. I don't need to be that specific with these types of things. I need to have the faith to say, God, give me what I need. Give me what I need, Lord. After that, it doesn't really matter, does it? Just give me what I need when it comes to our physical needs. Verse 4, I think this is an area we can get a little bit more specific. Verse 4 says, and forgive us our sins. We need to go to the Father and be specific when laying out our sins to Him. God knows exactly what I am guilty of. He knows what you are guilty of. There's no hiding anything. And so, can we go to God and just say, please forgive me my sins? Sure. But again, He knows exactly what those sins are. We need to search our heart. We need to think back over what we've done since the last time we've gone to Him in prayer. And if we know, yeah, that was wrong. I should not have thought that. I should not have said that. I shouldn't have done that. Say it to God. Lay it on His feet and beg for that forgiveness. 1 John 1:8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And verse 9 tells us, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so I think, you know, when it comes to the physical things, the things that just aren't that important, we don't need to be that specific with it. We don't need to ask for specific circumstances. But when it comes to our sins, what we're guilty of, I need to lay that all out. God knows anyway. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with Him and beg for that forgiveness. The second point I want us to look at about how we pray is we need to pray with persistence. Pray with persistence. Immediately following this model prayer in verse 4 in Luke's account, he goes right into this parable. It's an interesting parable. You could almost call it the parable of the annoying friend. Let's go back and read this again. Verse 5 through 9, and we're going to go all the way through 9. He said to them, which of you shall have a friend, and go to him at midnight, and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. You go to somebody's house at midnight, right? You get that knock at midnight, and someone's asking for food. What? For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within, the man who owns the house, and say, do not trouble me, the door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. Everybody in the house is asleep. What are you doing bothering me? You're going to wake my kids up. And we all know if you have kids, if you got one, you don't want to wake them up once they go down, right? Let a sleeping dog lie. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet, because of his persistence, that guy knocking, he's not going away. I need some bread. Someone's at my house. I got to feed him. Because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. We are supposed to be like that annoying friend. Now, with all parables, right, there's limits to how we can apply this. I don't think it's saying, you know, God is too busy, you know, lying in bed at night. That's not the point of this parable. The point for us is be persistent. Right? Isn't that what it says? Because of his persistence, he will rise and give him. And in verse 9 says, so I say to you, ask. Right? Keep asking. This is a guy that doesn't stop. He keeps coming back. Persistence is the same as shamelessness here. Shamelessness. I heard it defined as carrying out God's plan with unembarrassed boldness. Carrying out God's plan with unembarrassed boldness. Nothing's going to stop me. It's midnight? Oh well. We see that timing at play here, right? How many of you, I've had these moments where you want to call someone or even send a text, and then you look at the time and you think, oh, it's too late. I need to wait till the morning, right? God's not like that. We don't have to wait till morning with God. It's not too late to call. It's not too late to go to Him in prayer. Hebrews 10, verse 19, talks about us having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. You think about what's taking place when you approach the Heavenly Father in prayer. I'm a sinner. I've made choices that have separated me from God. I have made choices that are responsible for putting Jesus up on the cross. And yet I'm going to the Heavenly Father, asking for help. Because Jesus serves as mediator for me, right? And allows me access to pray to the Father as He sits on that throne on high. And I, in all my sin, am shameless enough to approach Him as He's sitting on His throne on high. Not just once, but over and over and over again. Taking my sin, taking all my issues and baggage that are so small compared to what God's capable of, and going to the Creator with all my issues. That takes a certain shamelessness to keep approaching Him over and over again. Verse 9 again, ask, seek, knock. These aren't just one and done actions. The implication is we keep asking, we keep seeking, and we keep knocking. And some might see that and we think, well, wait a minute, Matthew 6, in this account, or near this account in Matthew's version, verse 7, Jesus warns, when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard by their many words. And maybe you're like me, and there's times when I've read that, and he says not to pray with vain repetition. So I shouldn't say the same thing in my prayer over and over again, right? If I prayed for that yesterday, I shouldn't pray for that again today, right? I don't think that's the point at all. I think the big idea here is not to pray in vain. I think the vain part, vain is meaningless. Don't pray meaningless prayers. I think the meaningless, the vain, is to be emphasized, not necessarily the repetition. A vain prayer is a prayer without purpose. A prayer without purpose. When you pray for something one time and never pray about it again, that can be every bit as meaningless as a prayer you say over and over and over again. Look over with me in Matthew 26 for an example of praying the same thing more than once. Matthew 26, and it's Jesus who does it. Verse 39, shortly right before his betrayal and arrest, Matthew 26, 39, he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And just a few moments after that, in verse 42, it says, "Again, a second time, he went and prayed, saying, 'O my Father, if this cup cannot pass from me, unless I drink it, your will be done.'" Very similar thought there, right? That he's praying. It says a second time. That's a repetition. Is Jesus guilty of vain repetition? I don't think so. It's not wrong to repeat something when praying to God. It's wrong to pray meaningless prayer. It's wrong to pray something in vain. Just saying the words or having the thought in your head just to say you've prayed. That's what's meaningless. It's the babbling on we do in our prayer that's meaningless. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 urges us to pray without ceasing. I don't know about you, my life's not all that important. If I'm going to be praying without ceasing, there's going to be things I pray about over and over again. I'm going to pray for my daily needs every day, aren't you? I'm going to pray for the forgiveness of my sins every time I'm guilty of sin. But as we pray persistently and shamelessly, again, we got to come back to God's will. Don't forget God's will. Sometimes we go to God with a specific request, and His answer is no. His answer is no. I don't like being told no, do you? Nobody likes being told no. And when we go to God in prayer, if we're not going to Him in vain, that our prayer is important, isn't it? It means a lot to us. We're praying about things that are important in our life, but there are times when my wants don't line up with God's wants. They don't line up with God's plans. Paul had this in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 8. We looked at this last week where Paul talks about this thorn in the flesh and he asked three times for the Lord to remove this thorn in the flesh. And three times, God's answer was no. No. The Lord chose not to remove it. Why? Because God had a purpose. And in 2 Corinthians, we see a specific answer. Our answers aren't always quite that clear, but we can normally find an answer if we pay attention, if we look for it, if we continue to pray and look in the Bible. But here, we know it was to humble Paul. It was for Paul to see where true strength comes from, and that is from God. So our prayers need to always keep God's will in mind. I heard another preacher once say, our prayers become more powerful when we stop focusing on our problems and start focusing on God's promises. Our prayers become more powerful when we stop focusing on our problems and start focusing on God's promises. And that leads us to the third point. And that is we need to pray with desire for understanding. Pray with desire for understanding. Continuing in Luke 11, verse 9 again. Verse 9 and 10. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. And so again, pair this back with verse 2 of your will be done, right? We're asking for things to be done in God's will, not just our selfish desires. And at times, I think our prayer needs to simply be, help me understand your will, God. We need to pray specifically for understanding of what the Lord's will is. Don't lose Luke 11, but go over to James chapter 1 with me for a moment. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. We'll move on past that verse in just a moment. But when I read verse 2 specifically, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, that doesn't quite register with me. When I face a trial, my first reaction is to go to God and say, God, remove this trial from me. Help this trial come to an end, Lord. I want it to be over with. Help resolve this issue, God. I don't think there's anything wrong with praying that. What does verse 5 tell us to do? If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. So when I face a trial and I think, how am I supposed to rejoice in this trial? I see count it all joy. How? That's the type of question we need to be asking God. God, how do you want me to rejoice in this trial? I don't understand. Show me what I'm supposed to learn from this thorn in the flesh, Lord, because I don't get it. I think that's exactly the type of question we need to be asking God. Instead of just, help me remove this trial, that's fine. But if God wants us to learn something from it, let's ask for that. If we're supposed to count it a joy, how am I supposed to do that? How am I supposed to be joyful for this? By asking for wisdom. Keep asking. Keep seeking. Keep knocking. I think there's just times when we have to ask better questions when we pray. We have to ask better questions. That begins with humility, acknowledging, I don't know how to solve this. I don't know what to do, but God does. Sometimes if you're like me, we go to prayer and we think, I got to know exactly what to pray for. I got to know exactly what I'm supposed to do and ask God to help me with that. I don't think that's the case at all. God knows what to do. God knows what's best. I don't know how to do certain things. God knows how. This might mean, again, praying for less specific circumstances at times. Maybe you don't ever ask God questions when you pray. Well, start asking Him some questions. Now what we're told to do in Luke? Ask. Ask. In Matthew's account of the Lord's model prayer, if you want to look over there for just a moment, and that occurs in Matthew 6. You go just before it in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5. We'll see some examples of some better questions we can ask. In Matthew 5, we're told in verse 13 through 16, Jesus calls us to be the salt of the earth, the light of the world. And so I can pray, God, help me be the light of the world. Again, that's fine. But what does that really mean? Because that's going to be different for you, it's going to be different for you, it's going to be different for me, right? We have our own influence. I think a better question is, God, how can I be the light of the world that you want me to be? How am I supposed to shine to those around me? In verse 44 of Matthew 5, we're told to love our enemy. And so I can pray, God, help me love my enemy. Again, I think that's fine. Nope, nothing wrong with that. But what does that mean for you? Who are your enemies? What's that situation? Instead, how about I pray, God, how can I overcome my bitter feelings towards these people so I can treat them kinder? God, how can I react more positively towards those negative influences in my life. Lord, give me the courage to be good to those who hate me. Later in chapter 6 of Matthew, verse 25, we read, "Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink." Again, I can simply pray, "God, help me not to worry." I can do that. But again, I think a better question is, "God, how can I overcome my worry? Show me, please, Lord, how to increase my faith in you, that everything's going to be fine. How am I supposed to get there, Lord?" Asking better questions when you pray is probably the biggest takeaway of this lesson for me. Maybe it is for you as well, but this might take some work. This might take some work. These types of questions require some forethought, being a little more intentional in our prayer. People talk about prayer journals today. You don't have to do it. You don't see prayer journals in the Bible, but it's really no different than the prayer list we have in the back of a bulletin, right? So maybe you get a notebook or a journal and you jot down some things you need to pray for and maybe even some specific questions. And as you do that, as time goes on and you go back to that, you're more likely to see, hey, I had this issue a few weeks ago. And look how that's turned out. That's turned out pretty good, hasn't it? God answered that in a way that I never would have expected. So that's kind of a side benefit of keeping track of such things, of taking time to write out some thoughts before a prayer, is you can see how those things have worked out down the road. Now, not every prayer needs to take this much time. I'm not saying, you know, if you're driving down the road and you need to say a quick prayer while you're behind the wheel, it's not the time to get your notebook out, is it? If you're about ready to eat a meal and everyone's around, you don't have to say, "Wait a minute, everybody get sit down, let's..." You don't have to do this all the time, right? But if we did this at least once, maybe twice a day, maybe first thing in the morning when you wake up, you got your cup of coffee and just sit down for a few minutes and take an extra 15, 20 minutes before you start your day and be deliberate. What do I need to ask God for today? If you're not a morning person, right before bed. It doesn't really matter when. But let's find a time to put some more thought into our prayer. Understand that God, at the same time, doesn't promise positive outcomes, right? He doesn't promise positive outcomes. If all I ever ask for is positive outcomes in my life, I'm going to hear no over and over and over again from God. No, 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 no. He's not a magic genie in a lamp who's just bound to give us whatever we ask for, is he? James 4:3 says, "You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures." Prayer is not intended to be used for selfish reasons. Prayer is not there for our selfishness. God does not promise positive circumstances, but He does promise me wisdom. He promises you wisdom. He makes that abundantly clear in James 1 in verse 5. He gives to all liberally without reproach. If I ask for wisdom to understand my situation, to make the most of my situation, that is the type of prayer I am much more likely for God to respond yes to. Because we see it. He's already told us. He's going to give it to us. The final point I want us to consider is we need to pray with expectation. Pray with expectation. Luke 11, again, pick back up in verse 9 and go back through verse 13. "So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be open. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" Do you hear the certainty in those words from Christ? How certain it is that God wants to bless us, that He wants to give us what we need. It will be given to you. You will find. It will be opened. And we get that deal with the bread and the stone. Right? If you ask God for something good, He's not going to give you something you don't need. He's not going to give us what we need. He's going to give us exactly what we need in this life. That's why He told us, don't worry about your life. Don't worry about your clothes. Don't worry about your food. So there's two mistakes that people are I believe we make often in our prayers, two mistakes I make in my prayer life. One is simply not asking. Not asking God, not going to Him with things. The second is asking, but not believing it will make a difference. Not believing our prayer will make a difference. And that's dangerous. James 1 in verse 6, right after we talked about praying for wisdom in verse 5. In verse 6 he says, let him ask in faith, with no doubting. Believe God will answer that prayer. If you want wisdom and you're willing to seek it, you're willing to knock for it, God promises you, you're going to get the wisdom you're looking for if you go to the right places. We have to ask in faith with no doubting. When Johnny breaks a toy, I know it happens quite a bit, he usually will bring it to me and hold out and say, Daddy, will you fix it? And there are some times when it's simple enough, even I can fix it. You know, it's a proud dad moment. You can fix your son's toy. But there's times when he'll bring me something that's just beyond repair. It's not going back together. And he'll raise it out to me and say, Daddy, will you fix it? And as much as I want to say yes, of course I'll fix it for you, I got to say no. I can't. I can't fix that. And one day before too long, he's going to realize that Daddy can't fix everything, right? You can see in his eye when he holds it out, he really believes I can fix whatever is broken that he has in his hand. That's the exact same mentality that we all need to have when we approach God in prayer. God, will you fix this? This is broken, God. It's broken. Will you fix it for me? And we need to have that same childlike faith that yes, our Heavenly Father absolutely can fix it for us. He may not fix it the way we want it fixed. He may not fix it the way we would fix it. So again, we're back to praying with understanding. We're back to remembering God's will. We need wisdom to understand and appreciate God's solution. It's kind of like a fine piece of art. There's some art I just don't get, right? It requires a certain amount of appreciation and understanding for some things. But here's the thing. If God's solution is different than my desired solution, or if it's different from your desired solution, I guarantee God's solution is better. It's better than what we could ask for in the first place. Do you believe that? Do you have that expectation from God? If so, now you're ready to pray with power. Go ahead and take out your songbooks. Praise be to God for the gift of prayer. The fact that God will take the time to give attention to my prayer is hard for me to understand. I don't know if I appreciate that quite as much as I should. Let us never become unappreciative and ungrateful of our ability to pray. Do you know, though, that God does not accept each and every person's prayer? It's a sobering thought. God does not accept every person's prayer. 1 Peter 3, verse 12 reads, "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are open to their prayers." Who's the righteous? "But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." Your relationship with God determines whether or not He will accept your prayer. So how is your relationship with God? Are you living righteously? Are you living in obedience to God and His Word? Maybe you're here this morning and you've never heard that before, and you're saying, wait a minute, that's frightening, isn't it? That God might not accept my prayer. It is frightening. If that's the case, I imagine you've got a lot of questions. And we are happy. Come find one of us, and some of us will be happy to sit with you, answer your questions for you. We'll have an open Bible. We'll show you what we mean by living in obedience, by obeying God and His Word. Maybe you already know what to do. You've studied God's Word, but you've never obeyed the Gospel. And you're here this morning. If you're ready to repent and to be baptized, why wait? Don't delay. You can do that this morning. Make your relationship right with God today. If you're a Christian and you've just not been living righteously and you need our help, you need some prayers, let's make that right this morning as well. We can help you in any way If we can, please come forward while we stand, while we sing.